I've been listening to Christmas music since July. Forgive me for those of you who find that absolutely appalling. The other thing I do is I love Christmas. I love the season. But I do have, what's the word? A certain thing that really, I don't want to say it makes me angry, but I just don't like it. And it's happy holidays. Okay. So I want you to do me a favor, make me happy today. When I say Merry Christmas to you, don't say happy holidays. Merry Christmas. It's your one chance, you can say it out loud. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. That's no way to go out and offend everybody by being nasty, you know, but I just like saying Merry Christmas, and so it is that time of year, and thank you for the Advent prep this morning. That was wonderful. The worship time. Sometimes I understand people who just want to spend just worshiping all the time. You know, that touches the heart. There's something there. Some of the songs touch me. That last song, I think I've sung it because I recognize the last two lines, Be Free, or, you know, those, I recognize that completely, but that whole idea that we are free, and yet at the same time we're not free, you know, is just amazing. So the worship is just a blessing this morning. And I want to take from the Advent reading this morning. I think that's, if I've got this right, was it? And, that could have been a blessing. She said she couldn't see my face. From Luke chapter 2. And I think we just read this. We're going to read it again. Just listen, and we're going to go from there. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Amen. The shepherds go then. The angels disappear, the shepherds head for the manger. You know the story. Okay, I want to focus on those. I think that's six verses this morning. And just to give you the heads up, three particular parts of this. In verse 7, it starts with the glory of the Lord shone. And verse 10, we find fear not. And then also in 10, for all the people. Those are the three points I want to look at today. Glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? What does that mean? You see it through scriptures. You see glory of the Lord's glory, all different kinds of things. The places... throughout the Old Testament, we find that. And I'm going to give right up. I think it usually signifies the presence of God. When you're going to see the glory of God, it means God's there. In some way, capacity, some form. They don't say it, but we find God's presence in the desert, in the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud in the morning, or during the day. You know, and then... we can go on and we find it. Exodus 33:18 says, Please show me your glory. Moses is before God and he says to God, Show me your glory. God's answer is always interesting because you can't really see me, but I will show you what I can show you. And he says, I'm going to put you in a rock, you know, in the cleft of a rock, in a little cubbyhole in the rock. And he says, I'm going to put my hand in front of you, and I'm going to walk by you. It gives us something about who God is, okay? He says, if you see my face, you're going to die. Simple. So I'm going to protect you, and you can see the back of my head. You can see the back. That's all I can see. And that's what happens. Moses sees God's glory in the back of his head. That's all he can see. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 14, in the dedication of the temple, I always find it interesting. I love this phrase because it's the part where they're coming into the temple, the Holy of Holies. It's all been built. Solomon's done. And you think, okay, this is it. And what's the response? It goes on, I'm just taking a piece out of it for brevity's sake. It says, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. The glory of the Lord filled the house of God. They couldn't even stand, and they fell. And we find very commonly when God shows up or angels show up, where do people fall? On their face. You know, not too many stand up to the God of the universe. But what you do find is that we're talking about light. In John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world, reflecting upon Jesus, the light of the world, the presence of God. And it goes on in 1 Timothy 6, says, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. I'm a slow learner in some ways. So when I was growing up in school, I would look at the sun all the time. Just right at it. And what would happen is I did it because I sneezed 3 times. Every single time, I would look at the sun, I would sneeze 3 times, and then I could look at all I wanted, no problem. I didn't realize I was probably doing major damage to God's creation inside my face. But it struck me that everything we experience here in our lives today is a shadow of what's to come, right? I mean, we know that. We know that glory, heaven, is far beyond this because in the Garden of Eden, everything was clear. Our relationships were clear. It was God, it was man, it was his creation. And they were all in right relationship. Everything was right. And then Eve and Adam decide to question God. There's a falling out in that relationship. And since that time, we have been living in the shadow of that relationship. And I find myself, he uses the word unapproachable, unimaginable, what it would be like to see the sun outside of that shadow. You know? We can't understand, we can't comprehend that. And yet this is the glory that he's talking about, the glory of the Lord. Think about these shepherds. Shepherds were the bottom of society. Okay, they were the bottom of and partly because they couldn't worship, they couldn't go to the temple, they were busy taking care of their sheep. And we have this idea of shepherd, I think sometimes we see David kind of lounging on a branch there, just playing a while with his pipe or something while the sheep are wandering around. Well, that's not the life of a shepherd. Okay, a shepherd had to examine each sheep, make sure they stay holy. There's a good chance the sheep that we're looking at here are the sheep that would be slaughtered Passover meal that would take place later in the year. That's possible that this is the herd, if you will. I don't think that's the right word, but these are the sheep that would be used for that purpose. So they had to be kept clean, they had to be kept right. There's a lot of work involved. And these shepherds, the least of the lot, all of a sudden come face to face with an angel, the glory of God shown around them. Mind-blowing for these shepherds. I mean, the least of it. Never expect it. And it goes on in the scripture, it says, in verse 13, it talks about a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. And I tried to figure out what that was. I had one commentary that mentioned some term of army, an army of soldiers, army that was used in that. I couldn't find it again. But what I did find is that Let's see. Of course, I've lost my spot. Where'd you go? Out of Daniel, it was here it is. Thousands serve him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Those are the ones before God. That's a multitude. Okay, so we have this multitude of angels that are there. So these shepherds have been shaken up. But they have encountered the glory of God. Will they ever be the same? No, I don't think so. And in fact, we see Stephen. Remember Stephen, New Testament, book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 55. But he's being stoned to death. So he's probably on his knees by this time, looking up with stones flying. He, full of the Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That was the image he got at that point, the glory of God. Let's jump to the next point. Fear not. The angel said to them, fear not. And then it goes on. I think this fear not, I think sometimes speaks more to about us than about angels. I had a pastor, one of the pastors I had 40 years ago, used to tell a story about when he told this story about fear not and about Mary seeing Gabriel. He had Gabriel pictured as a 9-foot monster, you know, with huge wings, and saying, and he stands over her, says, don't be afraid, Mary, this is just me, you know. I'm not sure where the 9-foot came from, but that was a story he told. But I think it says more about us, and I think it's a result of the fall. Because it's saying to us, we're always afraid. How often in Scripture it says, don't be afraid, I'm going to take care of you. Don't be afraid, I'll win this battle for you. Don't be afraid. Or God comes and says, you were afraid, you didn't do what I told you to do. You know, I think it has more to do with our broken relationship with God than we like to think about. That we are afraid, we are fearful people because of that. Because our relationship with the Father is broken. Jesus Christ, the Savior, has brought that back, but we know we're in the process of being formed into the image of Jesus. I know, and you know, that Jesus has no fear. He certainly is not afraid of the Father in any way, shape, or form. We're still arriving there. And so it's very common for us to hear, fear not, don't be afraid. The shepherds have every reason to be petrified. Okay? Think about it. It's any horror story. It's the makeup of a horror story. You know, you're sitting around the campfire and all of a sudden some image appears ahead of you. In this case, it's an angel. But I wonder if, in fact, when the angel says, fear not, it's not, don't be afraid of me, but maybe it's a warning of what's to come. When he says, fear not, and then it goes on and says in that verse, a multitude of angels show up singing praise to God. I mean, one angel, a multitude. There's a fear there. But he's saying, don't be afraid. Zechariah, the angel says the same thing to him in Luke 1:13. Says, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Our natural response is fear. To Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Again, going referencing that Dan, I mean, thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. I know many of you have watched at least some movie similar to or like The Lord of the Rings or Star Wars some of the older ones of Ben-Hur. Remember the pictures, or maybe Gone with the Wind, because Gone with the Wind shows it too. Do you remember the pictures where they kind of start small and they see 10 and they kind of back out and back out and back out and back out, and all of a sudden there's thousands upon thousands there? Okay, this is 10 times 10,000. Math majors, what is that? Is that a trillion? 10,000 times 10,000? Don't take your time now. Okay, it's a lot. Okay, it's more than we can count easily, for sure. And the response of people who come before God in Revelations 1:7, what does John do in 1:17 in Revelations? He sees Jesus, and what's he do? His response is he falls on his face. Is that, now there's a certain fear that's right. There's a certain fear, a respect that is due God and is expected. But there's also coming into the presence of Almighty God that would send us to our knees, begging for mercy. Save Jesus Christ. Okay, last point here is for all the people. And verse Luke 2, verse 10, it says, "And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." It's not for the person sitting next to you. It's not for the ones who attend your church or go to your community group or part of your knitting circle or whatever. It's for all people. And that is tough for us to grab hold of. And it's good news. What's the good news? The good news is Jesus. I was reminded in my prep, and I made note of it, God and man at table are sat down. Cool song. It's Jesus. Peace. Peace is Jesus. You know, the word there, I was going to say it's shalom, but it's New Testament, so it's not shalom. And I can't remember. I've got it in my head, so I won't try to say it. But it's more than a lack of conflict. Okay? It's more than that. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's a relationship that puts everything in right perspective, puts everything in right relationship. Okay? And it only comes through Jesus. That's the only way you can have that. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." Acts 10 says, and this is Cornelius. Remember that story? Quick review. Cornelius sent for Peter. Peter came to his house and was there. And as the word that God sent to Israel, and Peter's, I'm quoting Peter here, as to the word that he, God, sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace. How? Through Jesus Christ. It comes through Jesus Christ. So, I'm going to wrap this up with kind of two phrases, two thoughts. One is, we knew when Jesus came, the world would change. Anybody not know that? We still expect change, right? God is still changing. The hard part is, you know, and I can make this very personal, is I didn't know I would have to change. And each one of us has to deal with that. That it's not just for the world, but I have to change. But my final challenge is, and I would say this would be, I realize I got the questions to the circle group leaders very late, if Judea forward them to you, and I apologize for that, but walking in the glory of the Lord, okay, be not afraid, and bring peace to all men in this Advent Christmas time. My challenge is that if we continue walking through this Advent time leading up to celebration of Christmas and all the time, but especially now, okay, being in the glory of God, know Christ present within you. There's the new tabernacle. That's the new place God dwells, within our hearts. Okay, and as he dwells there, don't be afraid. The God of the universe is in you, is with you. Don't be afraid. And bring peace. Bring Jesus. In all that that means, the right relationships, bring it to all men. Okay, to the nut in the parking lot who just backed into your car as you backed out of your spot, and he was backing out of his spot. Been there. To the nut on the road who cuts you off. For the person in line who just has no patience and is nasty, or the mother who is screaming at a child. To whatever situation you find yourself, bring the peace of Jesus in how you respond or don't respond. Not responding does not mean you're bringing the peace of Jesus. It might mean you just bit your tongue. Okay. To respond, not respond in a way that I'm talking about, is at least offer a prayer for the situation of the person there with a heart that's transformed by the glory of God and has no fear. Has no fear. That's the challenge I lay before us as we move forward with holiday. It's a challenge for me. I look forward to it. I love this time. I pray for your Christmas. I know we have one more. It's a strange holiday. It's not quite as strange as last year, where Christmas, or the Christmas was on like the Christmas and the fourth Sunday were the same or something. I think this year it's Christmas Eve and then Christmas Eve all on the same day. You know, it's the fourth Sunday of Advent, it's Christmas Eve, and then Christmas the next day. My prayer is that you have a joyful time. My wife and I both send you Merry Christmas. We won't be around. We're headed to warm weather. Can say that without a bit of guilt. It doesn't look so, not been so bad this last day or two here. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you and we are grateful for all that you have done for us, because we certainly don't deserve it. And Father, you had the plans drawn long before we existed. But there was a day when your Son became man. And we celebrate that now, Lord God. We celebrate and say thank you. And Christ has come amongst us, Lord God. And Father, because of Christ, God and man can sit at table. Because of Christ, we can enter in this season with joy, with excitement, with opportunities, Lord God. Fill our days with divine appointments. Fill our days, Father, with places where we can bring the peace that you've given us. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. We do pray your blessing upon the Circle Church. And Father, as people prepare for the holidays, that they may continually be reminded that this is about Jesus. This is about your love for us. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless.